Talk number 30. Mr. N. Natesha Iyer, the leader of the bar in a South Indian town, an Orthodox Brahmin, asked, "Are the gods Ishwara and Vishnu and their sacred regions Kailasa or Vaikuntha real, Maharshi, as real as you are in this body?" Devotee, "Do they possess a phenomenal existence like my body, or are they fictions like the horn of a hare?" Maharshi, "They do exist." Devotee, "If so, they must be somewhere. Where are they?" Maharshi, "Persons who have seen them say that they exist somewhere, so we must accept their statement." Devotee, "Where do they exist?" Maharshi, "In you." Devotee, "Then it is only an idea, that which I can create and control." Maharshi, "Everything is like that." Devotee, "But I can create pure fictions, that is, a hare's horn or only part truths, that is, like a mirage, while there are also facts irrespective of my imagination. Do the gods Ishwara or Vishnu exist like that?" Maharshi, "Yes." Devotee, "Is he subject to cosmic disillusion?" Maharshi, "Why?" "Man becoming aware of the self transcends cosmic disillusion and becomes liberated. Why not God Ishwara, who is infinitely wiser and abler?" Devotee, "Do devas and devils exist similarly?" Maharshi, "Yes." Devotee, "How are we to conceive of supreme consciousness, Chaitanya Brahman?" Maharshi, "As that which is." Devotee, "Should it be thought of as self-effulgent?" Maharshi, "It transcends light and darkness. An individual, jiva, sees both. The self enlightens the individual to see light and darkness." Devotee, "Should it be realized as I am not the body, nor the agent, nor the enjoyer, etc.?" Maharshi, "Why these thoughts? Do we now think that we are men, etc.? By not thinking so, do we cease to be men?" Devotee, "Should one realize it then by the scriptural text, such as, there are no differences here?" Maharshi, "Why even that?" Devotee, "If we think, quote, I am real, unquote, will it do?" Maharshi, "All thoughts are inconsistent with realization. The correct state is to exclude thoughts of ourselves and all other thoughts. Thought is one thing, and realization is quite another." Devotee, "Is it not necessary, or at least advantageous, to render the body invisible in one's spiritual progress?" Maharshi, "Why do you think of that? Are you the body?" Devotee, "No, but advanced spirituality must affect a change in the body, is it not so?" Maharshi, "What change do you desire in the body and why?" Devotee, "Is not invisibility evidence of advanced wisdom, jnana?" Maharshi, "In that case, all those who spoke, who wrote, and who passed their lives in the sight of others must be considered ignorant, agyanis." Devotee, "But the sages Vasishta and Valmiki possessed such powers." Maharshi, it might have been their fate, Parabdha, to develop such powers, siddhis, side by side with their wisdom, jnana. Why should you aim at that which is not essential, but apt to prove a hindrance to wisdom? Does the sage feel oppressed by his body being visible? Devotee, no. Maharshi, a hypnotist can render himself suddenly invisible. Is he therefore a sage? Devotee, no. Maharshi, visibility or invisibility refer to a seer. Who is that seer? Solve that first. Other matters are unimportant. Devotee, the Vedas contain conflicting accounts, cosmogamy. Ether is said to be the first creation in one place, vital energy in another place, something else in yet another, water is still another, and so on. How are these to be reconciled? Do these impair the credibility of the Vedas? Maharshi, different seers saw different aspects of truth at different times, each emphasizing some one view. Why do you worry about their conflicting statements? The essential aim of the Veda is to teach us the nature of the imperishable Atman and show us that we are that. Devotee, I am satisfied with that portion. Maharshi, then treat all the rest as auxiliary arguments or expositions for the sake of the ignorant who seek to trace the genesis of things and matters. Devotee, I am a sinner. I do not perform religious homas, sacrifices, etc. Shall I have painful rebirths for that reason? Pray, save me. Maharshi, why do you say that you are a sinner? Your trust in God is sufficient to save you from rebirths. Cast all burden on Him. In the Tiruvachakam, it is said, though I am worse than a dog, you have graciously undertaken to protect me. This delusion of birth and death is maintained by you. Moreover, am I the person to sift and judge? Am I the Lord here? O Maheshwara, it is for you to roll me through bodies by births and deaths, or to keep me fixed at your own feet. Unquote. Therefore, have faith, and that will save you. Devotee, sir, I have faith, and still I encounter difficulties. Weakness and giddiness afflict me after I practice concentration. Maharshi, breath control, pranayama, properly performed, should increase one's strength. Devotee, I have my professional work, and yet I want to be in perpetual dhyana. Will they conflict with each other? Maharshi, there will be no conflict. As you practice both and develop your powers, you will be able to attend to both. You will begin to look on business as a dream. Says the Bhagavad Gita, quote, that which is the night of all beings, for the disciplined man is the time of waking. When other beings are waking, then it is night for the sage who seeth. Unquote. Chapter 11, verse 69.